Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oppo, featuring SuperVOOC, lightning quick smartphone charging tech.
This is Phoenix Nation on SENZ.
Yeah, welcome into Phoenix Nation. Thanks to Oppo here on SENZ. Coming up on the show today, we are going to be joined by Callum Holmes, the Wellington Phoenix Women's assistant coach, get his take on why they're conceding late goals. They've been at 1-1 with about 20 minutes to go twice this season and lost both games 4-1. So what is it that they're doing in that last 20 minutes and how are they going to fix it? Gareth Turnbull, you'll know that name. He's been part of the Football Ferns setup for a long time, ran the Football Ferns development program for a while as well. He is now the number two at the Melbourne Victory women's team. He is going to join us because the Victory and the Phoenix play each other this weekend. And we also have that Phoenix Oppo Fan Challenge as well to win a set of those Phoenix W11 earphones as well, or earbuds as well. And that could be yours, actually, because I don't have anybody lined up. So if you want to do that, if you want to be part of that at around 10 to 4, flick us a text now, 8833, with your name and number, and you could be our lucky punter that gets to take on from the penalty spot 5 questions on the Phoenix. Get 3 right, and those $70 earphones from Oppo are all yours.
SENZ.
You're on SENZ. This is Phoenix Nation. Thanks to Oppo, and joining us to kick things off today is Chris Greenacre. He is the coach of the Wellington Phoenix reserve team and part-time goalkeeping coach as well. Greeny, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, mate. How's the season been for you? Because it's a long season, right? You play the Central League with the Rezzies, then you step up into the National League and you play those games as well. How do you think that's working for you?
Yeah, it's been a really strong season for us. We finished third in the Central League, and we get quite a good, solid performance, I think, throughout. And then that geared us up then, obviously, for the National League. So the National League was, you know, a step up for our players who haven't played at that level again, and it's just part of their development of playing at the highest level possible. So, and I think throughout the season, I think we've grown as a group of players. I think the players have learned a hell of a lot, and obviously bit part. Some of them have been joining in with some of the first team sessions as well. So that process has been really successful for us, I think. So still loads and loads to learn on moving forward, and you know we've highlighted areas where we want to improve going forward. But the main thing is that we sort of stay focused on what we're trying to control and what we're trying to develop here, and that's, you know, future Phoenix plays and future, you know, all life.
Yeah, well, that's that. I mean, that's what it's all about. And it feels to me, from a results point of view at least, that this has possibly been the most successful season that the Phoenix reserves have had.
Yeah, and apparently so. I'm not really too sure about that. Again, we've been so focused on what we've been doing, and so cliche, you hate, but we've basically taken one week at a time. So, again, you know, working hard, similar to how the first team work in terms of our preparation, you know, how we're looking at opposition, where we can try and exploit the opposition, you know, where they might be able to hurt us, and trying to give the players, you know, solutions on how to win a game of football or breaking our position down. And, you know, the players have certainly bought into that, which is crucial for us. So, you know, we've demanded a lot from them, and, you know, they've sort of grown with those demands, I feel, and I think there's plenty more to come from them. So, again, I'm not overly concerned about results. It's always great to see a plan come together and you pick up 3 points, and as a coach, you get a lot of satisfaction from that. But on the same token, when things don't go quite as well, it's important that we find those ways to show the guys where they probably didn't quite do what they were supposed to do or where they can learn, and then it's about us improving that for the future. And you know, we do that with video feedback our reviews each week after each opposition. You know, we try and show the players where we could improve, either individually or collectively, and then go from there. And that's sort of how the process has gone on for the whole season.
In terms of the, I guess, the focus for you, what is more important, getting the result or getting the stuff that you've worked on the training pitch during the week executed on the field regardless of the result?
Exactly that, the second point. For us, it's great to see where you've sort of worked out how to play against an opposition and watching the players execute that. And you'd like to think, I've sort of been in the game long enough to think that if we can get those sort of fundamentals right, you know, we'll most likely, or I can never say possibly, but we'll most likely get the outcome that we want. But it's more about the process there. But also, I think what does also get forgotten is that there is a, to professional sport, there's the winning, that you need to learn how to win. And again, yeah, you know, it's about us producing players, but, you know, players need to learn how to win. And there's a way of doing that within games. We're watching the World Cup now. You know, you need to learn how to win games. You need to manipulate the opposition. You need to sort of, I suppose, the dark arts. There's an element there that's part and parcel of football, and it's, I don't feel we've been that great at that at times. But again, that's just one of the small elements in the wheel that we're trying to improve the players on, that will hopefully stand them in good stead if they do step up to the first team.
Well, I guess, you know, when you talk dark arts, no better player to have come into the side, even if it is just for half an hour, than Alex Roofer.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about that, but again, it's, you know, Alex was obviously, he has grown up here and stuff, and obviously, you know, he's well established in our first team environment. So to have Alex, you know, Jan Sass around the group, Sam Sutton at the weekend as well, to have those guys around the group, it's fantastic for our players, and full credit to those players stepping down. They grasp the game as they would a first team game. So that's really important that when the first team players do step down, there isn't a massive difference between their environment that they're in and with the first team, and then stepping into our environment, and their attitudes toward my players on how we did do things in the reserve team was absolutely first class. And you know, full credit to those guys. But that shows you the nature of the players that we've got at this football club, the senior players. We've got good people, good professionals, and ones that are real role models to all the kids out there. And, you know, you identified Alex Roofer there. You know, his performance at the weekend shows you the difference between the gulf between my reserve players and the National League and where it's at. And it's only till you see the players up close and personal that you do realise that the gulf in between sort of both environments, and it's a great learning tool for our players to see where they have to go to get to that top level. So, you know, again, it was incredible to have those guys involved, and a real serious part of their Alex's process of getting back from his injury. You know, he needs the game time, and obviously that's a good step for him, and then hopefully he can be appearing in the first team in not too distant future.
Yeah, well, I mean, get that half hour on his legs, and maybe a little bit with you guys in this mid, you know, sort of break when the Rezzies play the first team next week as well. We can see him in the mix for the first team, because I think he's definitely been missed, that six that just sits in front of the defence and does the dirty work. Chris, we should talk too about your new qualification. You're a pro licence holder now. I mean, that is the ultimate qualification for any football coach. It means you can coach A-League clubs, for example. Is that something you want to do? Do you want to be a head coach?
Again, I've said to people this has come up quite a few times, and I'm not a coach that's in a great rush to get to that sort of level. If it appears and there's an opportunity and I look at it and it's something that, you know, that appeals to me, then great. If it doesn't, it also doesn't. So you know, it's a quite a cruel industry, the professional sport route, and you know, often there are players and people that are like, you know, I want that job and I want to be here and I don't really care who I step over and all that kind of stuff. And that's just not me as a person. I'm very ambitious, and I'm seeing more than that, obviously, with the group of players that I've got that I want them to be successful. So the ambition's definitely there. But in terms of that, you know, I'm in no rush to get where I need to go. You know, I've really enjoyed the pro license process. It's been quite a long process, a bit longer winded than I wanted, but the role that I've got now it's tied in quite nicely. So one or two of the things that I learned about myself, you know, because it goes into some real deep thinking and, you know, why you do things that you do. And so there's a lot of deep mental things in there. And this opportunity with this return reserve team allowed me to put some of those things I've learned about myself into a process and actually deal with it on a daily basis. So the two have tied together very, very timely, I suppose, and it's been great to put some of that stuff into proper practice with proper athletes. So again, a long process, but delighted to get that over the line. The support that I've had from the club, the first team coaching staff, the academy coaching staff, has been fantastic. So I want to thank those as well. There's a number of other people that who've been part of the process and stuff, and they know who they are, and I want to thank those guys as well. So I'm delighted to have it, and it's now time to get to some work and put these things into practice.
Yeah, well, how much did it teach you about goalkeeping coaching? Because it's been a bit of a running gag, but you've had to step into those shoes with Gouldie going back to the UK. How have you found that?
That was great. It was great to be out there, and I sort of said to people that I'm claiming all the sales assist as well, because you know, the long punt out of his feet that created the assist for the goal against MacArthur was part of my doing. So I'm taking that one, but that wasn't really. It was really, really enjoyable. And again, you're working with really top people, and again, top staff and top players. And it was great just to be out there with Ollie and AP as well. So, great to still be part of it, but I probably ticked off every job at the club now, I think. So, that's great.
Exactly, mate. Feels like you have, for sure, mate. What is the off-season, I guess, for the Rezzies off-season at least, look like for you? Are you going to be in and around the first team helping out still, or do you get a bit of time off now?
I'll have a little break, but then I'll look to sort of get back in. But yeah, it's been a really long season. You know, my players have been going all the way through. I think we've been going for like 45 weeks now, so it's been a long season. And the players, you know, need a break physically and mentally. Obviously, people forget that I think there was 12 of my squad went to Tahiti as well for the World Cup qualifiers. So those guys, literally, we played our game, I think, on the Saturday, and then on the Monday they were in camp. And the other players that remained here, we gave them literally 3 days off. So back to back in all that time, the boys have had sort of 3 days off. So it's been, you know, for one or two of them who've sort of just got in the team, they'll be wishing the season hadn't ended. And then one or two who maybe need a bit more game time, maybe need some time away mentally just to refresh. And then we'll come back ready and refreshed for pre-season. And then we'll start to prepare for the Central League, which is something that we're really excited for. So that's kind of the process in the next couple of months for the players.
Yeah, cool. All right, mate. Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you about the World Cup and about England as well, and the way Gareth Southgate coaches that team. And I think it was summed up in two tweets that I saw back-to-back on my Twitter feed. One from Miles Davis, who you'll know well after the Wales game.
Yeah.
More pedestrian bollocks from Southgate's England. Go away, Gareth. And directly underneath that, Adam Somerton, who's a BT Sport commentator up in the UK that I know, who tweeted, "Well done, Gareth Southgate. Managed his squad superbly there and topped the group. It's almost like he knows what he's doing." You couldn't get two more opposite takes. Where do you sit on where England are at the moment in the World Cup?
Again, it's ultimately the top, which would have been the main outcome. And again, when you're sort of on this side of the fence, there's a multitude of reasons why, you know, Gareth Southgate's done what he's done. The bit I'm sort of unsure about is the sort of couple of players who haven't been that great in their Premier League season, but have come into reckoning into the World Cup squad. So I think that's a question that I would have, because for me, you know, Phil Foden's been exceptional for Man City, and then has not been involved obviously in the first couple of games, and then he came in the last game. So that would be another question. But again, when you're on this side of the fence, you know, there's a multitude of things that are going on. There's injury, there's all sorts of stuff going on that we're not privy to. And I'm sure it privately, Gareth Southgate can back up his decisions that he's made. But again, they've silenced the critics, as you say, come top of the group, and then they look forward to the last 16. So end of the day, when you look back on the results of the World Cup and you know, it won't say anything about England and who played and who did what. It'll be about results. And at the moment, they're in the last 16 and have topped the group. So the history makers don't really have a comeback on that. So, but I understand everyone's frustration and everybody's got an opinion, and that's the beauty of football. Everyone's got an opinion. So again, I'm sure they'll go far as I think they've got the quality to do that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, actually. I mean, this has been a World Cup of upsets, of course, but if everything goes according to plan, it'll be a quarterfinal between France, the defending champions, and England. If you had to sort of have a bob each way on that, which way would you be leaning?
I think just after the result, I believe France have just lost, I think, Tunisia before. So, I mean, they'll certainly, I think they had a goal disallowed late on and stuff, but I think people have said it's been a World Cup of upsets, and I think what you've also got to remember, teams are a lot more well-prepped now. You know, the availability of being able to watch teams, and the coaches are better now. Coaches are better organised. You've got players who are playing in the, I suppose, lesser teams or lower ranked teams. They've still got players that are playing in the top level, so the game's changed completely now. So, you know, back in sort of the 80s where you get these results of, you know, I mean, there was a 1-7-0, but there was more games that were, you know, with big scorelines. That those days are over now, and that's why you're now seeing a change where the sort of minnows are now able to, they're more organised, they've got players who are fit, so they've got more quality, and they're all playing in top levels all around the world now. So the standard has actually got even harder for the better teams. But which will only improve the World Cup and the spectacle, I suppose, for those mere mortals who are fans.
Yeah, indeed it will. Greeny, thanks very much for your time today, mate. Enjoy a little bit of off-season. Hopefully you can have some early nights and some late mornings so you can catch some more World Cup action, mate, and enjoy it. And we'll catch up with you again soon, eh?
Thank you, Ricardo. Appreciate it. Cheers.
Oppo, featuring Supervook, lightning quick smartphone charging tech.
This is Phoenix Nation on SENZ.
Yeah, it's 3:25 here on SENZ. It is Phoenix Nation. Thanks to Oppo. And as a reminder, if you want to play our Phoenix Oppo Fan Challenge, you get 5 questions on the Phoenix, get 3 right, you win a set of W11 Echo earbuds worth around $70. And we'd love to hook you up with those. So if you want to play that, text us now, 8833, 8833. And towards the end of the hour, we'll give you a call and get you on, give you an opportunity to win that. And we'd have a go at winning that at least, because the good people at Oppo have given us a few sets of those to give away. Joining us now out of, no, we've lost him again. We are hoping to catch up with Gareth Turnbull. He is the former Football Ferns development coach, and was for a short period of time the Football Ferns coach as well, filling in. He is the number 2 at Melbourne Victory, and they, of course, play the Phoenix this weekend. So hopefully we can get Gareth on the phone. He's having a few problems with the number that we've been given for Australia. So we'll try him again, and hopefully we can get him through and get him on with you. Of course, the Phoenix women have started the season not particularly well. 2 goals they've scored, but they've conceded 8, and they've conceded those goals generally, or the bulk of those goals, late in the games. They've conceded them sort of from with the last 20 minutes of the games. They've gone into both second halves of the second half, if you like, at 1-1 against Western United and Melbourne City, and ended up coming out with a 4-1 loss on both occasions. So we will have to see what Callum Holmes has got to say about that. He is going to join us shortly. He's struggling to track down Gareth at this stage. It is 3:27 here on SENZ. This is Phoenix Nation. When we come back, Callum Holmes will join us. Japan got unlucky, I think. Costa Rica had just 2 touches in the Japanese penalty area for the whole game, and they scored 1 of them, and Japan, they were all over them and just could not put the ball in the back of the net. So Germany should get up in that, paying $1.08. The other game is Japan versus Spain. Now, Spain are $1.36 favourites. Japan are paying $8.50. The draw is $4.50. That's what I like in this one, because a draw gets both teams through, effectively. So that's all they need to do. is draw, and then that will should see Japan through by my calculation. So have a look at that one as a possibility. Then looking a little further forward, we have Ghana, Uruguay on Saturday morning, and South Korea, Portugal. Currently, the way it sits is that Portugal are top of that group. They are through and with two wins from two games. Ghana in the box seat if they can hold off Uruguay to join them, although Uruguay are the favourites there. And then the 8 o'clock games on Saturday morning, Cameroon, Brazil. Brazil the shortest of favourites at $1.33. Pretty tight, though, in the other game. Serbia, $2.50. Switzerland, $2.75. A win for the Serbia sees them through a draw. We'll see Switzerland through to the next round. We've got Michael on the phone. G'day, Michael. How are you?
Good, Ricardo.
That's the story, mate. Let's see if we can hook you up with some of these Oppo Enco W11 headphones, mate. You just have to get three of these five questions right. Are you ready to give it a crack?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, mate. Question number one is, which football fern plays for the Melbourne Victory?
Well, there's the injured one, Hannah Wilkinson. No, she's Melbourne City. Bunge, the girl Bunge.
Long run up and puts it in the net.
We'll take that, Claudia Bunge, indeed. Well done, mate. Well done. Question two for you. The Phoenix Reserves finished their season with a 4-2 win against who last weekend?
Birkenhead.
Long run up and puts it in the net.
Two from two. He's a dark horse. All right. Well done. Michael, here you go. Question three. Former Phoenix striker Nathan Burns played 24 times for the Socceroos. How many goals did he score in those 24 appearances?
Oh, got me there. Well, they kept him in for 24 games, so he must have scored some. I'll go for 9.
Saved by Rennie. Advantage, Phoenix.
Tough question. They did play him as a wide forward a lot. He got 3. You got 3. So, right. But you're still alive. You're just got to get one of the next two right, and you win. Michael, Phoenix and Ferns midfielder Betsy Hassett previously played for which English Women's Super League club?
Somebody, wasn't one of the top, you know, it was more, I think it was more like a Brighton and Hove Albion or can't quite, it begins with B. I'm not sure.
Not sure.
Saved by Rennie. Advantage, Phoenix.
Yeah, Brighton Hove Albion's where Rebecca Stott played. But actually, Betsy Hassett played at Manchester City.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, but it was before they had all the money. Before they had all the money.
Yeah.
All right, so this one for you to win those Enco W11 headphones from Oppo, Michael. Former Phoenix midfielder Cameron Devlin is a current Socceroo. He's there at Qatar. Which Scottish Premier League club does he play for?
Oh, I think it's St Mirren.
Saved by Rennie. Advantage, Phoenix.
No, unfortunately, no. Keanu Backus plays for St Mirren. Yeah, it's Hearts. He plays for Hearts, mate. Michael, thanks for calling through. Unlucky, mate. Maybe we can give you another shot another time, eh?
Good on you.
All right, mate.
Hey, Ricardo.
Yeah?
An interesting statistic. Australia, with its qualifying today, Ernie Merrick said on the telly the other night that they've got more teams playing in the Australia Cup, over 700 teams, than playing the FA Cup.
Wow, that's a great stat. That is a great stat, yeah. Michael. Yeah, thank you for that, mate. Thanks for that stat.
One other quick one.
Yeah, sure.
America in 1994 in the Time magazine, 16 million players, and of which 3 million were the women. So it's quite a significant participate, but yeah, they haven't done well at the top, have they?
No, they haven't, mate, not quite. All right. Hey, Michael, thanks very much for calling through.
Good hope.
Cheers. There you go. Your opportunity to take part in the Phoenix Fan Challenge. We'll have another one next week and another set of those Enco W11 headphones to give away. Thanks to Oppo. It is 23 away from 4.
Fook, lightning quick smartphone charging tech. This is Phoenix Nation on SENZ.
18 away from 4 o'clock here on SENZ. This is Phoenix Nation, and joining us is a man that we know pretty well this side of the ditch, even though he's the other side these days. He was involved heavily with the Football Ferns for a long time, set up and helped run the Football Ferns development program as well, and is now the number 2 at Melbourne Victory, Gareth Turnbull. G'day, how are you, mate?
Ricardo, I'm well. Nice to chat. Hopefully you're good as well.
Yeah, mate. All good this end, mate. All good this end. How's things in Melbourne? How's Claudia settling in, mate? She's certainly come through the ranks and looks almost like a nailed-on starter for the Football Ferns these days.
Yeah, look, we're really, really pleased with how Claude has developed over the couple of years here. Obviously, a bit like the Phoenix ourselves, not at the end of the table we're accustomed to, but you know, we're working hard to put that right this weekend, and Claudia's going to be a big part of that moving forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's played some great football with the Ferns in recent times, and of course has developed with you guys as well. As you mentioned, hasn't been the ideal start. You haven't scored a goal yet, lost your first two. Phoenix are in a similar situation. They're still looking for their first points as well. What have you made of what you've seen of the new look Wellington Phoenix women's team?
Yeah, look, I think that, you know, they've probably been a little bit underprepared and underdone in terms of their injuries. With not having Rolston and Wisniewski, two of their, I'd imagine, key starters not available these first two rounds, they'll be looking to get those girls back in as soon as possible. So we're not quite sure what to expect. We've been following the media reports and the stuff articles to see if they are involved. So we're not quite sure what Phoenix group will come across the ditch, but you know, what we do know is they're going to be competitive. They're going to press. It's not going to be an easy game. And potentially it'll be later on in the match where space is a little bit more of an option. And maybe we can capitalise a bit like the other two opposition, the other two Melbourne teams have done over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, that has been the thing. I mean, as a fan sitting there watching it and having a look, is that last 20 minutes seems to be what's cost them. They've been one all both times going into that last 20 and then shipped goals. What do you put that down to?
Oh, you know, without being inside the ranks, set pieces have undone them a little bit. So I know they would have been working on that, which happens to be one of our strengths. So that's an opportunity for us, we believe. But you know, it's early season for all teams, and Phoenix being still a relatively inexperienced group, we're finding that with a fairly experienced group, we still are naive at times, especially in the defending moments. And good, you know, there's some good players in this league. And you give good players enough opportunities, you're going to get punished eventually. So I think the Phoenix, you know, have been really competitive for large parts of both their matches. But, you know, a little bit of individual naivety and some poor decisions at times, you know, they've been punished for them. So, you know, that will come. That will come with experience. It'll come with, you know, time together as a group. I'm certainly picking them to pick up points regularly throughout the year, just hopefully not on Sunday.
Exactly. It's always a tough one, mate. Because, you know, the other thing for you guys is that you've lost your star striker, Catherine Zimmerman, the US import. Broke her leg, so she's out for a while. Unfortunate for her so early in the season. As we mentioned, you haven't scored any goals yet this season. Are you confident that you can find a player that can play that role for you going forward for the season?
Yeah, like Zim's been a really important cog for the last 2 years. But, you know, we've also unfortunately been in a situation very similar over the last two seasons where we lost, you know, key players to ACLs in the first game. So, you know, this sort of trauma and resilience, you know, the group kind of galvanises around. So, you know, despite not firing too many attacking shots over the last two games, we've been really, really happy with big parts of our own game. But yeah, that final third is where games are won and lost. So for us, we will be bringing in an injury replacement. Zim had surgery yesterday to put a plate in there, so she's going to be out for the foreseeable future. But you know, we've also been able to bring back in Leah Privatelli, who was last year's stand-in captain. She hasn't played this season through her own injuries, so we're starting to bring a couple of our bigger guns back in as well. So hopefully, we'll be a little bit more effective in that front third, but we're certainly going to be bringing in an overseas international to fill in Zim's spot. However, they won't be available in time for Sunday.
It feels like the time now for the A-League Women's, the Liberty League, is really, with the spotlight on it, with the World Cup being here next year, here in Australia next year, it's an opportunity for, there's a lot of players who are coming home to maybe get game time and get being, you know, under the eyes of the coach. Do you think this is a stronger league this year than you saw last year?
Yeah, I think in general, yes, it is. I think some of the top ends, obviously from a Matilda's perspective, there's a few that are still scattered around the league. Now we're fortunate that we have two. But I think the top end overseas imports probably haven't presented themselves this year compared to past years. So therefore, I think the middle, so to speak, has become a lot more spread across the whole league. The fact is, you know, a number of Kiwis, a number of different clubs is a great thing for the Football Ferns, and more can play in this league. But I think the league, as a generalisation, you know, the spread from first to last is going to be a lot tighter this year than what we've potentially seen over the last couple. So, yeah, it bodes well for all teams having, you know, competitive opportunities throughout every match this season.
And I don't know if you got a chance to watch the Ferns play Korea, or, you know, the games that they recently had games over in the States as well. But it feels like, you know, some of the work that you did with the Football Ferns Development Program is starting to pay fruit. We're starting to see some very good, technically gifted young players come through. What have you made of that young wave of players that's coming through at the under 17, under 20 level?
Yeah, I unfortunately wasn't able to watch the games. We weren't able to pick them up over in Australia, but certainly followed them. Yeah, I think, you know, as with most things, you know, development takes time. And there's been a bit of a shift over, you know, probably the last 7 or 8 years around trying to create more technically capable players with the ball. And I think we're starting to see that slowly present themselves in the women's game. I think even in the men's side of the game, that started to come through a little bit quicker. But the likes of Alyssa Winham, again, is not really broken in yet, but she's a very technical player that I think has a bright future. But yeah, there's a big number of that Ferns group now that, you know, have come through, you know, a couple of cycles of 17s and under 20s and accumulating a lot of international experience and exposure. So, you know, they understand what it is to compete against, you know, international players from different nations. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how Jitka, you know, uses the senior existing Ferns and kind of that new wave that are knocking on the door, so to speak, whether or not, you know, some of those can force their way into the World Cup squad, or maybe it's, you know, the sort of the cycle after that. But certainly I think the future of the Football Ferns in terms of the way they handle the ball and to be more of an attacking threat, hopefully that can be more of a, you know, a mainstay than potentially what we've seen over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, indeed. Good stuff, Gareth. Hey, thanks very much for your time, mate. Go well. And I was going to say good luck this weekend, but I don't know if I can quite bring myself to do it. But, mate, have a good season.
I appreciate it. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, cheers, Gareth. Thanks, mate. Go well. Gareth Turnbull there with us from the Melbourne Victory. It is 10 away from 4 on Phoenix Nation.
Oppo, featuring Supervook, lightning quick smartphone charging tech.
This is Phoenix Nation on SENZ.
It's 5 away from 4 o'clock here on Phoenix Nation on SENZ. And joining us now from the Phoenix is Callum Holmes, the assistant of the Wellington Phoenix women's team. G'day, Callum. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Nice to speak to you again.
Yeah, good to chat, mate. Good to chat. Unfortunately, we don't have as much time as I'd have liked, but I did want to ask you particularly about what the work on for you and Natalie has been with the team around the concession of late goals, because you've been playing pretty well, you've been scoring goals, you've been holding good teams in Western and Melbourne City to around the 70-minute mark and then conceding it. Where do you think that comes from, and have you figured out how you can fix it yet?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different between the two games of sort of how we conceded the goals, which can be a good thing and a bad thing. At least it's not one trend that we need to work on. I think that the key thing for us has been when we do concede, we make sure that we don't concede again quickly. I think that's been the main issue for us. Not particularly the time, just more of when we do concede. We, in the last two games, we've conceded again and then again. And at that point, the game sort of becomes a little bit tougher to come back from. So I think it's just making sure that we're concentrated in those moments, and making sure that after we do concede, we reset ourselves as a group, staff included, and get ready to go again so we can have an impact on the game over the last little 20 minutes like it was in the weekend, or even sort of 30 minutes it was the week before against Melbourne City.
Are you generally pleased with how the team is playing and what you're putting out there?
I think so, yeah, we are. We've played some really nice stuff. We've played some really good football playing out from the back in both games. We've had a couple of moments in the game where we thought we were on top, for large periods. I think it was sort of a bit longer maybe against Western United on the weekend than Melbourne City, but we're happy with what we're doing, and now we just need to be able to piece that together for 90 minutes, and I'm pretty confident that as we roll into the season, that will happen, and we'll get some points on the board.
Well, you got Melbourne victory. You got the hat trick, didn't you? All three Melbourne teams, first three rounds. This time over in Melbourne this weekend, they've lost Catherine Zimmerman, their star striker as well, and they yet to score a goal this season. Have you had a chance to have a look at them and how they go about things, and how you guys might be able to counter that?
Yeah, we have. We looked at their last couple of games. We looked at some preseason games as well. We've got a plan. We've got a game plan in place that hopefully we can execute for long periods of the game and score some goals against them. They've obviously got some very good players. It's unfortunate for them that Zimmerman went down with the ankle. I think she had surgery earlier this week. But they've also got some internationals coming back into their squad. So lots of threats for us to be aware of, but we're also pretty confident that our game plan's right. And if we execute that, then I think we have a big chance of getting 3 points away from home.
Yeah, and how is everybody fitness-wise? I know there were, we had a couple of players who started the season carrying niggles, Paige being one of them. Are you confident you're going to be able to take a fully fit squad over there?
We'll be pretty close. We're still sweating on a couple of others, making sure we get them back, and we have them for the entire season. I think the last thing we want to do is bring them back too early and make sort of have a pretty panic. Oh, we've lost the first two games. We have to bring these players back. We know that it's a long season and we don't want them to break down halfway through. So it's a bit of a balancing act between making sure we get the players on the pitch that we think are going to help us get 3 points and making sure they're going to be ready for or available for the entire season. So we'll have a couple back this week, which we're looking forward to. Hopefully they'll add a little bit to the squad, which hopefully then we can get points out of it.
Yeah, fingers crossed, mate. And how is Lily tracking?
Yeah, she's doing okay. She's progressing. She's on track. She's a pretty frustrated figure, I think. Anyone who might have seen or heard the game on the weekend, she's the team's loudest supporter when she's off the pitch. So she's such a fantastic person. And we'd love to have her back on the pitch soon. But again, it's another one that we can't rush to make sure that she's ready to be back, and we can be playing soon. Have her back playing soon.
Yeah, good stuff, Callum. Hey, listen, we've run out of time on Phoenix Nation, mate. Great chatting to you again. Hopefully we can do it
awesome.
A bit longer next time, mate. Go well, and best of luck in Melbourne this weekend, eh?
Sounds great. Thank you very much. Speak to you soon.
Yeah, we'll do. There you go. That has been Phoenix Nation for another week. Thanks to Oppo. We'll be back again next Thursday from 3 o'clock. Up next, the run home from the golf club.